Fresh off the love train, welcoming you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And what a great show today to share. The best way to pull up the link is go to the Animal World website. That's MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live link upper right. That'll click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen upper left and then Listen Online, and you'll be all set to stream the show. And of course, you can find us on Facebook these days. Search Martha Norwalk's Animal World, and you can find that incredible video of the flying squirrel faking its own death. I mean, it is the most amazing. I can't believe how smart the squirrel is. Nathan, you saw that squirrel.
Put it up for Grammy Award winning or something like that.
Oscar.
Okay.
The squirrel Oscars. This guy, I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable how smart the squirrel is. And he actually thinks about it and fakes his own death. But then he can't stay dead very long because he has to keep peeking to see if his owner, if his owner sees. It's just hysterical. All right. So anyway, that's your chuckles for the day. And all righty. It is time. And boy, we've been waiting for this for a long time. And I can honestly say, back by popular demand, because I get calls that, get that Janice gal back on. And anyway, so we are welcoming back to Animal World. I call her the chief cook and bottle washer, but founder, president, I think, does everything person for Nupro Supplements, N-U-P as in Peter, R-O as I say, NupoSupplements.com if you want to check it out. Janice Gianforte. Good morning, Janice, and welcome back to Animal World.
Thank you very much, but on the East Coast, we're past morning already.
Oh, that's right. Good afternoon, Janice.
It's afternoon. I was up early because I brought my dog up here to beautiful Warwick, New York to do dock diving today. And so I was up like around 4:30 this morning. So I had my morning already.
Holy mackerel. And but you sound like your energy's still way up there. So now let's to start with you. You live in New Jersey, right?
Right. Correct.
And you said you had to go to New York for this dock diving event.
Right.
So how far away are we talking? How you had to get up at 4:30 this morning. How far did you have to go? How long did it take you to get to where you're going?
Well, we're all crazy people when we do these dog sports. So it was about an hour, 40 minutes, somewhere in there.
Wow. Wow. All right. And then I know that now let's tell everybody who doesn't know, Tucker is your dog.
Yes.
And what kind of a dog is Tucker?
Tucker is definitely cattle dog mixed with, we think, blue tick coonhound or some kind of blue heeler out of Arkansas.
Yeah, and at least in the photographs that I've seen, he looks most like that blue tick coonhound, I think.
Yes, he's got the cattle dog head because he has that white spot on the top of his head, which denotes a Bentley, which is what cattle dogs have on the top of their head, according to the breeders. I'm still waiting for the Bentley car, but it hasn't come yet. but the rest of him, it's odd. He's got the cattle dog head and features and the brown legs, and the rest of them is all ticking, white and black ticking.
But and how old is Tucker now?
Probably he's going to be 5 in December. Sometime in December.
And he's turned out to be a pretty phenomenal competition dog for you, hasn't he?
Yes, today we got our Doc Master Excellent.
All right, so you did get it. Now, yes, I couldn't exactly say what it was, but I knew there was some big deal going on. And didn't you have to get 5 jumps or something?
I had to get 5 more to get my title because I needed 55 jumps in Master. You get Novice, you get Advanced, and then you get Doc Master. And Doc Master has also different. You can get Novice in Doc and then Advanced in Doc and Master. And today we got our Doc Master Excellent Award.
Wow. Well, congratulations to you and Tucker.
Thank you. That means we have to jump to get to stay in Masters. We have to jump off the dock. Okay. It's a 40-foot dock into the pool.
Why don't you, for anybody that, let's say, assuming there's somebody listening that doesn't know what dock diving is. So can you explain that?
Sure. It's a lot of fun. First of all, you got to have a dog that likes to swim, likes to jump into the water, because that definitely helps. If you got a dog that's shy of water, really doesn't want to jump, probably not the sport for you. Tucker loves to be in the water, and you've got to have toy drive, because what happens is you can get him to sit, stay, or you can have somebody hold him on the opposite side of the 40-foot dock. The handler, myself, walks to the end, and we have a toy, the dog's favorite toy. It could be a wubba, it could be a bar toy, it could be a ball, it could be what that dog's favorite toy is, and he normally doesn't see it until he's in competition, because that gets him ultra excited.
Gotcha.
I stand at the end of that dock at the very end before falling in. And
wait, you've fallen too?
People have fallen in, and I've come close, because you got to get right at the end. And the reason for that is, if you're not at the end and you throw too soon, the dog goes off the dock too soon and you're leaving 2 or 3 feet on the dock. You want that dog to come right to the end and launch off to go as far as he can.
Gotcha.
So to be a master dock diver, you have to jump between 20 and 25 feet off the dock.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a long ways.
His best is 25. Well, actually, Masters is 20 to 24, kissing 25. If you go 25 and over, that puts you in a totally different class, and that's called elite class.
Wow.
And he's done that twice.
Wow.
But that's where your Whippets, your Greyhounds, your Malinois, those type of dogs can go much further than that. They're lighter, they're springier, and they're the ones that can, they're the longest ones. You get your Border Collies will be an elite, and then you have Super Elite, which is your Whippets, believe it or not. They fly through the air.
Well, when you think about it, though, Janice, you think about the Whippet breed. They actually, for people, they're like a small Greyhound.
Yeah.
But when you look at the structure of a Whippet, they have the biggest thigh muscles of any dogs. I mean, they have really powerful rear ends and powerful musculature in those rear ends. And of course, they're bred to run. So if you give them 40 feet on a dock, they can run like the wind. And then they've got those rear legs to boost them out on the jump. I had never thought about it, but it doesn't surprise me that Whippets would be the longest and best jumpers.
Yes. And I also do Fast Cat. Tucker has his FCAT award, and that's where you're going 100 yards with a plastic bag on a pulley. So a lot of your sighthounds love that because they think it's a bunny or whatever.
Oh, they're chasing.
And it's 100 yards. Yes, that's a different sport.
And it's called fast catting?
Fast cat.
Wow,
and
fast
cat. Cat means coursing ability test.
Ah.
So And when you put the fast in front of it, that's the 100-yard dash, as fast as you can go. Now, Tucker's done that a couple of times under 7 seconds. So think about this. The length of a football field, under 7 seconds.
Wow.
And that's not the fastest. The Whippet goes between 5 and under 5 seconds. The fastest dog is a Whippet out of New Jersey, actually.
Wow. And so to get him to run that 100-yard dash, whatever they're doing, it's like a lure coursing is like a racetrack for horses, except they have a lure which is...
Well, this is a lure. So this, they just do a plastic bag because when the dogs come to the end of this, they're so fired up, they grab it and rip it to pieces. So anything that would be furry and soft, it'd be hard to get out of their mouth. This way they just rip up that plastic garbage bag. But we do also have lure coursing, and that's just called cat. And that's either 300 yards for smaller dogs, 600 yards for larger dogs. And then there's lure coursing for just sight hounds. So everything gets broken down too. And we can't enter that because we're not a quote sight hound. So special races just for them. And then we're an all American since we're a rescue and we're like a half breed or however many breeds Tucker's got in them. So we're just labeled as all American, but we have our AKC license and we're a member of the AKC. We could do all the sports. We just can't do confirmation because obviously,
yeah,
he's not
purebred.
Purebred dog, right?
Gotcha.
So we do that. So the 600 yards, they normally don't time you in that. You have to finish the course, and there's three with that. You get a novice, your senior, and then your big title. So with that, with the FCAT, you have the BCAT, the DCAT, and the FCAT, and the coursing, which is coursing ability test. That's why they call it CAT.
Yeah, I don't know about all this stuff and these details. I mean, I get confused just thinking about all the rules and the details. But basically, the lure coursing or the fast cat.
That's a straight line.
Fast they're cat. Using a lure. You have a kind of a machine set up that drags this plastic bag that the dogs chase. And it's simulating like chasing a rabbit around the track or a straight ahead. Okay, so you know, you do the dock diving. You do the lure coursing and the fast cat stuff. What other kind of competition do you do with Tucker?
Well, he also does something called barn hunt. And that's where you're in a barn with bales of straw and rats, real rats, are put into these PVC pipes with holes in them so they can breathe. These rats are brought up with dogs, so they're not afraid of them, and they're used to doing this.
No rat abuse takes place in these trials, right?
Okay. No, and they're very strict with that. When the dog goes in there and finds that canister, they have to sniff out that rat because the canister is hidden under straw. So it could be behind a bale, on top of a bale, but it's always covered. The dogs cannot see where the rats are. They have to use their nose. Now, they put dummy things in there, too. They put rat poop sometimes in a canister. They'll also put rat bedding so to fool the dog. So if that dog uncovers it and alerts me and I call rat and it's not, you're eliminated. You've just lost the chance there. Tucker's very good at it. Once he knows that rat's out there, he does not make a mistake. He's uncovered the dummy ones and walks away and keeps looking. Now, you have to turn them loose for this. They cannot wear anything. No collars because you have to go through a tunnel. You have to jump on a bale of straw, and they don't want the dogs to get caught up on anything. As soon as Tucker finds one of these canisters with a rat, and he goes crazy barking and yelling that that's the rat, and I call rat, and the judge says yes, I have to grab the dog, which is not an easy thing to do, and I got to grab that canister. I got to hold it up so the rat wrangler comes and picks that tube from me. Yes, there is a rat wrangler, and I've done it. I was a rat wrangler. So, yeah.
So I guess if you want to compete in barn hunts and stuff, you have to be okay with rats.
Yeah, you got to be okay at rats. And sometimes when you got the canister in your hand, the rat will pee and you'll get rat pee on you too. So just a little
okay.
It doesn't happen too often, but sometimes it happens. I think
welcome to barn hunts. You could get peed on by a rat.
Yep.
Okay.
And then we also do, we do scent work, or you can call it nose work.
Yeah, nose work, I think, is the official canine nose work is the official competition. So does Tucker do nose work as well?
Yes. Well, in AKC, it's called scent work.
Scent work, okay.
And they call it scent work. And it's amazing what these dogs can do with their nose. And it's so much fun watching how these dogs can work. And each canine alerts their handler differently. Tucker will jam on it and paw at it. And some dogs just look at their handler. Some dogs will put a paw on where they think the scent is. It's just amazing. Every dog figures out the way to tell you where the scent is. And I'm talking about the scent on the tip of a Q-tip. Okay. Yeah. So that can go into a backpack, a box. I mean, we've only got our novice in that so far, our novice award, but he's working in the masters. So we have to go to trials in order to get our certificates, but he's already working at a master level. And, you know, they can put a scent, that same scent, on the bottom of a container filled with 7 or 8 inches of sand. Okay. Now that scent on a Q-tip is in the bottom of that bucket. And wow. You know, those dogs know where it is. They also do it in water. Now, I know you could say the scent will travel up in the water and get to the surface, so it may be a little easier to smell that scent in the water. But think about your dog smelling a scent 7 inches down in sand.
Wow, that's amazing that their abilities are that keen.
Yes. And so you dogs know how, when you train them enough, they know how to go high to look for a scent, low to look for a scent. Sometimes they'll put it in between the in our training facility where they have laid down the mats. And one time they put the scent in between the mat. They don't tell us this. And my dogs start digging at the mat. And I'm like, no, don't do that. You know, I thought maybe somebody dropped a treat there. And your first reaction is, no, don't dig at the floor. And the teacher says, the scent is there and the dog knows it. Uh-huh. Handlers screw up right there. And I'm like, I didn't even think of that. So we have to learn as much as the dogs. We have to learn to trust our dogs. The dogs know where the scent is. Sometimes we get in the way of the dogs finding the scent.
Yeah, I remember when Robbie was young, he's over 10 now, but when he was young, that's one of the things that I did do with him. We did some agility stuff, for a few years, but we also did nose work. And I'm wondering, is it still the same with Robbie's training? I think they first had to learn to search birch.
Yes, birch.
And then anise. And then anise. Clove. Clove was supposed to be the hardest.
Yes, and we're even beyond that. There's like 5 different scents that Tucker
knows. Are there 5 now? Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they've added more scents. I know this was something Robbie was really good at. I was, I did it because nose work didn't exist, you know, when I was, you know, training for competition and all that sort of stuff. We just didn't do that kind of thing. So I wanted to learn about it. And I just, up to that point, Janice, I assumed that dogs knew what to do with their noses. But, you know, they really don't. You know, doing this scent work and this nose work with Robbie, I mean, absolutely changed his life. It was amazing when he learned how to use his nose, and he was really, really good at it. But once he understood, you know, he'd run out of the house, he'd stick his nose up in the air, he'd wind a scent, and then he could follow it right to the fence and then down the fence line to wherever it came from. And it was amazing how they learned to track scents, and for his scent work or nose work training, he learned, you know, to climb ladders and you know, how to go, you know, to get to places to find scents. And it's really amazing what these dogs learn how to do.
Unbelievable. It's funny you're talking about climbing a ladder. When Tucker was a puppy, we had gone to our friend's house, and she has an above ground pool, and he loves the water. I mean, Tucker loves the water. In fact, if I'm not playing with him and we have a in-ground pool, he'll take his toy, throw it in the pool, look at me. I'm busy doing something else. It'll get to the middle of the pool. He'll jump in, grab it, come out, and do it again. He'll do his own games if I'm not playing with him.
He plays with himself until you're
available. Plays with himself. Yeah, I'm like, that's good. Occupy yourself. So she had an above-ground pool with a ladder that was going up to the pool, and he heard the kids splashing in the pool. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I am not picking you up and getting you in the pool. If you want to get in the pool, and this was at a party and people are watching me, I told the dog right there, he says, if you want to get in the pool, you're going to have to climb this ladder. I was joking. Martha, he climbed the ladder and jumped in the pool to the amazement of all the guests there. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. He wanted to get in the pool that bad. Then I had to get him out. That was the harder part on the deck. But yeah, he climbed the ladder and jumped in their pool. And I'm just like, I couldn't believe he did that. He understood what I told him. That's when I knew how smart he was. Well,
I got a story real quick of a video I saw on Facebook. It was, I believe a border collie was learning how to dock jump, and it was getting to the edge of the dock and was scared. You know, it had its paws going up towards the edge and it was kind of moving its head, you know, up and down, just kind of like worried about what it's doing. So they're trying to get it to jump. Well, anyway, long story short, the border collie, it does not jump off the end of the dock. Instead, it starts going down to the, goes around to the ramp where they run back up to start their next jump. And you think
so
the dog's
down
just
the ramp
gonna,
to the water.
Yeah, to the water. You think the dog's just going to start swimming towards the toy. It gets down to the water, makes a huge, giant leap over to the toy.
But not from the dock, just from the end
of the
ramp.
Yeah, just from the end of the ramp. It wouldn't jump off the dock. It was really scared to, but it got to the end of the ramp and just made the biggest leap
Did
I've ever seen a border collie make.
Yeah, I think that would be
gosh,
a fun,
that's funny.
Fun
I've seen
video
a lot of
to
stuff.
See.
When I was teaching Tucker how to jump off, a friend of mine who does teaching was in the pool with her wetsuit on. And we're trying to encourage him to jump. We did it off the ramp a couple times, and he did that fine. Finally jumped off the ramp, grabbed his toy, and brought it back. I thought he would be a shoo-in because of jumping in my pool. But when they get to the dock, it's totally different, and they're not sure what to do. So my friend says, we're going to go off the ramp first a couple times. He came back up, and then we were trying to encourage him to jump into the water. Well, she had her back turned and was walking towards the middle of the pool with the toy to call him. All of a sudden, for whatever reason, he decided to jump, landed right on her back, and shoved her under the water.
Oh, no.
I'm like, oh, my gosh. I didn't know he was going to swim. So he's all happily swimming and getting his toy while she goes to the side of the dock, and she's coughing up water and she's spitting up whatever she took in. And I'm like, oh, my God. Dina, I'm so sorry. I don't know what possessed him.
What we do to train our dogs, huh? So
yes.
anything else you guys have done to compete in or continue?
We've taken rally classes. I have not competed competitively with it because I just wanted to see how he would be with it. And he's good with it. But at this stage in a game for him, it's a little boring because it's just, stopping in circles and going. So I just said, you know what? We can save that for when he gets older. And we're not doing these super competitive sports and we still want to do something that doesn't require crazy energy. So we're going to shelve the rally for now and just do that later.
So you're going to keep up with the dock diving and the barn hunting and the set work.
Yes.
And
all
that sort of stuff.
We're actually going to be doing air retrieve next. Instead of going the long jumps, I think we're going to be jumping off the dock and catching the toy that's held there by a boom over the dock with a toy that's kind of like a long bone. And the dogs now have to not run the full length of the dock, about half the dock, jump up in the air and grab this toy and then crash down. So that's what we're going to do next. It's called air retrieve.
So the handlers still throw the toy like you do.
No, I'm not throwing it. The toy is hanging from this structure.
No, I mean, but that's one way. That's what you have been doing.
Right. I was throwing the toy.
But then there's a separate category because I've seen films of that where there's actually the bumper or the is hanging.
It's
held
hanging.
Up.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
It's hanging by a couple of very loose clips. So even if the dog touches it and it falls in, they don't necessarily have to grab it in their mouth. It's still counted because they knocked it off of the tower.
Gotcha.
Of the bumper got knocked off. And then the other game is called Hydro Dash. The toy is on the other end of the pool. And the dog has to jump in and swim as fast as they can to the other end of the pool, grab the toy, and come back like a relay race.
Wow. Wow. All right. Well, it sounds like you and Tucker have your work cut out for you for
some
time to come. All right. Yep. We are going to take advantage of the timing here and take care of our advertisers for the first time in this hour. And then we continue with Janice. We're going to do, and I've told everybody, Janet, we're going to do a... and rewind back to the beginning. Now, Nathan has pulled up, somehow he found out the last time you were on the air was actually, you were on the air here on Animal World with Kevin McDonald when he was doing the last Sunday of the month. That was April 25th, 2021.
Wow.
And then the last time you were on with me was July 17th, 2016.
Really?
Yeah. But then there were numerous times before that, but I was explaining to Nathan that you and NewPro started advertising with me, and these interviews started back in my Como days.
Okay.
But I don't remember when we, you know, the actual timing of when we did the first interview together. Do you remember how long it's been? I know it's been at least 20 years, maybe more.
At least, yeah. Well, if you're rewinding, does that mean we both get younger?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
because we're
going to
take
rewind.
You. We're gonna take care of advertisers, and we're gonna come back, and then I'm gonna talk to Janice about her background, where she grew up, and how she got into all of this. I just heard a new story this last week that I didn't know about. Did you know she almost became a dolphin trainer before she did the horse train? Anyway, yeah. We're gonna go back and hear how this all started and how she and where New Pro came from and the whole story. So we're gonna rewind and revisit and hear the whole story again. And then so in the last hour of the show, we'll hear all about the supplements and everything, and maybe even open the phone lines if you got some questions for Janice. So stay right where you are, everybody. More with Janice from NewProSupplements.com straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Does your dog or cat have a health or mobility problem that is not responding to standard veterinary care? Are you looking for a non-medical alternative? I'm Nels Rasmussen, retired chiropractor and spiritual healer. I've helped people and pets all over the world to get their happy, active lives back when nothing else has worked. To learn more, go to healingministryforanimals.com. Go to healingministryforanimals.com. Now.
Hi, this is Marilyn Milano. If you love animals, then please check out my new show, Love Has Many Faces, Tuesdays from 9 to 9:30 a.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150. I'll be talking with rescue groups, animal advocates, and other organizations that help animals, sharing their stories and giving our listeners some tangible ways in which they can help make a difference. That's Love Has Many Faces, Tuesdays at 9 a.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150. Raising awareness, touching hearts, and saving animals' lives.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you? You running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Broaden your horizons. You'll be amazed at all the topics we cover on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are midway through the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon today, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And we heard from our wonderful Dr. Nels Rasmussen at healingministryforanimals.com. And I can tell you that in terms of his move to Idaho, he is here at least another week. So he's going to do one more house call day this on Tuesday. So he'll be coming here one more time. It does not look like he's still going to be here to be able to be in the studio again with us for the second Sunday of August. It looks like that'll probably, Linda will be in the studio, but he'll do his first Zoom show from his new place in Idaho. It looks like that's what it's going to be. But at any rate, he is available to help you or your animal friends. And he likes you to go through the website, healingministryforanimals.com. Click on the contact link. He's still doing a free phone evaluation. And so he's happy to chat with you for free on the phone and let you know what he can do to help you or your animal friends. Anyway, check it out, healingministryforanimals.com. And the do-it-yourself program is also on the homepage. And of course, you do something wonderful for humans, animals, or the planet we live on. Come join our Animal World family of advertisers. Would love to have you. And if you're interested, just shoot me an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. All right. We are in the middle of a conversation with one of our favorites, the founder, president, chief cook and bottle washer for NuPro supplements. You can check them out at NuPro, N-U-P as in Peter, R-O, NuProSupplements.com. Janice Gianforte is here. Good morning again, Janice.
Well, again, afternoon for me. Morning
I'm
for
an
you.
Afternoon. I'm sorry. I was on automatic. Good afternoon to you.
I think that we actually lose time. When I talk to you guys on the West Coast, I feel like I'm getting cheated because I'm having dinner. You guys are still at work. It's afternoon and you're doing brunch and we're doing dinner. Somewhere I'm losing 3 hours every day.
Well, we'll just have to find a happy medium between that.
Yes.
Now, I kind of want to go back because you and I have been at this a long time. At any rate, I know now you live in New Jersey, and that's obvious in your voice.
I can't hide the Jersey girl. Huh?
You can't hide the Jersey girl. You cannot.
Man.
So cannot. Were you born and raised? Did you grow up in New Jersey?
Yes, in Passaic, New Jersey, which is very north of where I am now. So that's why the New York accent creeps into there. But now I'm in central New Jersey, Freehold. If you look at the state, right in the middle is Freehold. We're exactly 60 miles from New York City one way and 60 miles from Philadelphia the other way.
Wow. Okay, I'll take your word for it.
We're right smack in the middle of that. So it's a hub. A lot of people are moving to the middle of Jersey because it's actually cheaper than New York, obviously. A lot of people work in Pennsylvania or they work in New York and they like to live in New Jersey. We have the beach. We have the shore. You know, we have mountains, skiing. We have the beach. I mean, it's a really good state if it wasn't so expensive to live here.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Our states are farther apart out here. So it's fun to listen, you know, when you can go to that many different places so close. But at any rate, what started or how did you get into animals to begin with?
Well, I always loved horses and dolphins, but they had the nerve to build the Meadowlands about 10 minutes from my house. Big
and that,
complex.
The Meadowlands, is that, that's a racetrack?
Yes, it's the Meadowlands racetrack. They do harness racing and thoroughbred racing at the same facility. They also have a big stadium, Giants, go Giants. I'm a Giants fan, New York Giants. And also some other entertainment stuff there. They have like another building where they do concerts and stuff. But in about 34, well, 40, more than that, 50 some years ago, whatever, they built a racetrack there. And I used to go to Staten Island. My parents would drop me off at a riding stable. And I used to love to, pay my $10 and do my hour ride with the group out in the park. And the people got to know me there. And before long, I became one of the people they said, hey, our help didn't show up today. Do you want to take this group of people out through the park with the horses? And I'm like, wow, I get a free ride and get to lead other people. Sure, I'm all for that. So that's how I learned how to ride horses and my experience with horses. And it wouldn't be all the time because it's whenever my parents would drive out to Staten Island and my dad would like to go fishing. And I wasn't interested in fishing. I love fish. I'm a certified scuba diver. So I love, but not fishing, especially the first time when my dad threw we were fishing in the ocean off of Staten Island and an eel crawled up my pole when I was fishing with my dad. Well, I screamed and he's like, no. Well, there went the pole, the eel, everything in the water. He says, you're not coming fishing anymore. I said, good. Drop me off at the horse stables. I'll be happy you're there. So that's where I got my initial experience. Besides reading all the books that young girls read on horses, Black Beauty.
All that. So how old were you then?
When I started, I wasn't 16 yet because I couldn't get on the racetrack when they built it. That's right. 1976 is when they finished the racetrack. And then I couldn't get on until I was 16 and my birthday was in November and the track opened in September. So they wouldn't let me on because it is a gambling situation. You have to be fingerprinted and stuff. And it wouldn't let anybody on grounds unless they were 16. So I couldn't wait for that 16th birthday. And I wasn't driving, of course. My mom dropped me off in the morning, and I was hoping that someone would hire me. It was very hard getting a job, though, because they wanted grooms to work 7 days a week. I couldn't. I'm going to school. So in the summertime, I was able to work. But on the weekends, one guy had pity on me one time, seeing me standing at the stable gate day after day, trying to get on the grounds and be with the horses. And he said, look, if you want to help my people out on Saturdays and Sundays, you're more than welcome to come and work for me. I would get a tip every now and then, but I was just happy to be with the horses. I never got paid, but I didn't care. It was just the experience working with the vets, the horses, the whole thing. And I already had experience with horses, but not race horses. So that's how I really got started. That's how I got my feet wet.
Was that at the time where at some point you went to Florida, I think, with your family?
Well, when I graduated high school, my grandparents used to rent a condo there for a couple of months before January, when all the snowbirds got down. If you went November, December, it wasn't as expensive. And that's when my grandparents would go. And as part of my graduation gift, my grandma and grandpa said, come on down and spend a month. So while I was in Florida with them, Hollywood, Florida, which is very close to Miami, Fort Lauderdale area, I took a bus one time and went to the Miami Sea Aquarium, and they had I wanted to see the dolphin show and see the aquarium, and they had a lot of help wanted signs up. And I remember talking with a lady who had a badge on, she worked there. And I'm like, well, what kind of jobs are they wanting people to have? And I said, are they looking for dolphin trainers? And she looked at me and she said, well, no, you would have to go to school for that and yada, yada. And I said, well, I am a certified scuba diver and I've been to 125 feet. And she looked at me, she said, oh, we would hire you on the spot. Mm-hmm. So that could have been a different direction my life could have went. But I ended up going back home to New Jersey. The horses called me again, and I started with them. I worked for several stables and with the harness racing and the thoroughbred racing. I did both. And then I did my written test for my harness racing trainer's license. And I passed that and I got that. And that it's basically finding people that want to give you got to find horse owners to give you horses, or you can own your own horses. But basically, you're in business to train other people's horses. But I did a lot of therapy, too. I was stabled at a farm where there was a swimming pool, and we used to swim the horses. And then I would turn them out and poultice them up and soak them in buckets and their legs, and horses with injuries, I would doctor up and get them back to the track for these people. So I basically, like, if they were doing shows like that back in the day, I probably would have had my own horse therapy show, because I was one of the original ones that was doing a lot of therapy for other people's horses. My reputation got out there and people would call me, hey, can you take this horse and that horse? And he's got a bow tendon or a suspensory or a hock problem or a knee problem. In other words, you got to take them off the track and rehabilitate them, because the pounding on the track is not good to keep them in shape. But swimming will keep the animal's lungs going, muscles going, but they're not pounding on the track, so that the injury can heal. Heal by putting poultice on it, soaking their legs, putting them out in a turnout field, just doctoring it up as best you can. And at least they're not losing too much lung action and muscle because I'm swimming them. When it was funny, because one of you had said something about, the other gentleman, when he was saying about getting the dog didn't want to jump into the water. Yeah, well, I was given a thoroughbred horse. Yes. And his name was Quad Radical. And I knew there should have been an issue there when I heard the name. They told me he swims, no problem. Just get him in the pool and, swim him and whatever I needed to do with him. Well, I was on one side of him. My husband was on the other side of him. We had long lines. There was a ramp there, and I couldn't get him to budge off the ramp. He just stood there and looked at the pool, because there's a ramp they would go down and then go into the pool. And he wouldn't move. He stuck his toes in like a donkey. We tried hosing him down. We tried pushing him. You get your shoulder into the horse's butt and shove him in. I got people to try to help me, but you're not going to move a 1,500-pound animal if it doesn't want to move.
Right.
And we're like, okay, they told me this horse knew how to swim. What's the deal? All of a sudden, in his own mind, he decided to launch off that ramp. He jumped so high, he looked like Pegasus.
Wow.
And he cleared the ramp and belly flopped in the pool. Well, both of us almost got, I fell halfway in the pool, because obviously he yanked both of us as he did that. I could still in my mind, this has got to be 30 some years ago, that I could see the sparks flying off his shoes when he launched off that concrete platform into that pool.
Wow.
So, yeah, I did a lot of that stuff. So, yeah. And
all right. Now, We have to take care of advertisers here for the last time in this hour. But then when we continue with Janice, at some point in all this horse business, you hooked up with someone related to how this, you know, discovered NuPro and yes. the sub and all of that. So we're going to take care of our advertisers. We're going to come back. We're going to find out how all this horse stuff then led Janice to NuPro and the story of all of that. Before we get to the top of the hour. So stay right where you, and I also, all this talk of, all the healing work that Janice has done with horses and all of that, that sparked the same question in you that it did in me. We've had to do a lot of animals in the news. We've been talking about the thoroughbred racetracks and the death of all these horses going up to, and some of the racing being suspended. And, you know, I've gotten opinions from the horse people I know about what's going on, but aren't you interested to hear what Janice has to say? Well, we'll ask her that too. So stay right where you are, everybody. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Do you feel overwhelmed by the people around you or the energies you encounter daily in today's world? When the drama and the emotions wear you down, it's important to have the tools to deal with the challenges life is bringing your way. And that's where Natasha Venter can help. Natasha is a medium and an intuitive personal awareness coach who is inspired to help those walking through the emotions and grief of today's energies. Visit Natasha's website, angelicclarifications.com, to discover how her unique skills and compassionate approach can help. That's angelicclarifications.com. There's no need to carry the load by yourself. Learn more at angelicclarifications.com.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Get your daily dose of variety. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are winding down the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We heard from our wonderful Natasha Venter. She's our communicator, medium, feng shui specialist, personal awareness coach. She does regular podcasts on Mondays and Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Go to her YouTube channel, Natasha Venter AC, and you can find her there live on Monday and Wednesday at 4 p.m. She's also available for private readings. You can check her out at angelicclarifications.com, angelicclarifications.com, or you can just give her a call, 360-770-7486, 360-770-7486. And then, of course, our wonderful sound, if you do, our wonderful sound healer, Jude Ponton, chiropractor, Accutonics specialist, and she's teaching a big class this weekend in Accutonics and animals, actually. You can check her out online at whispering-dragon.com, Whispering Dragon Center online. She can work with you remotely, or you can go into the Whispering Dragon Center, which is in her home in Shoreline. Great place to access, and great parking, and so much fun to be in the room with the gongs and the Accutonics forks, and the healing is incredible. Give her a call at 206-706-2836, 206-706-2836. And of course, you know, when I'm not here, I'm being an animal behavior therapist and trainer, and I work with people privately in their homes to help them understand the dog friends and teach you how to live with your dog and solve problems quickly. My Saturdays are booking up towards the end of August now, but I've got weekday sessions available, and I always do free, no obligation telephone evaluation. So if you know anybody has problems with their dog friends, tell them Aunt Martha will talk to them for free on the phone. Just give me a call, 360-217-7258. Not now, I'm on the radio, but you can call me later. 360-217-7258. All righty, we are chatting with Janice from NuPro Supplements, and gosh, Janice, we left you doing lots of healing work and rehab work for thoroughbred and racehorses.
Yes, standardbreds, harness racing and thoroughbreds. I did both. In fact, I trained harness horses for over 20 years.
Now, so that, you know, immediately made me think of, you know, what's going on in the world of horse racing today and the big controversy of what's going on. And of course, like with the Kentucky Derby, weren't there seven horses that died going up to the race? And then they suspend racing. And then there's, you know, same things have been happening at other tracks. I know what the horse people I've talked to about have said, but do you have a feeling for a sense of what's going on and all of that?
You know, I've heard a lot of things too. Not being in the business right now, I'm not really hearing the kind of buzz that you might be hearing, but you know, thoroughbreds, you're not seeing this in harness racing with standardbreds, you know, trotters, but you're, a lot of it could be the way they're breeding these animals now, you know, thinner, more delicate legs. It could be some of the new, don't want to really say the word drugs, but it happens. It's rampant in the industry. Could be something new that they're using, worked for one person, didn't work for this person. There was something that came out when I was still training horses in the 80s and 90s called Epigen. And it's something that it was for AIDS patients to get into the bone marrow and produce more red blood cells because of the disease. But you give this to a healthy animal, and you're going to produce more red blood cells. And what does that mean? That means more oxygen going into the lungs and the rest of the body. Really should make your horse go faster, because you're looking for that extra second, fifth of a second, whatever, that can get your horse faster than the next one. However, the drug does have a problem with tanking the iron reserves in the animal's body. So if you're not monitoring that by doing blood tests all the time, a lot of horses were just going down because of that. And that was happening in that time of year when I saw stuff like that. So could this be a new drug that people were misusing? A lot of stuff comes out all the time. You know, they use it on animals first. And because
now, a lot of what I've been hearing, I didn't hear anything about the drugs and stuff, so that's a new take. But mostly what I've been hearing from horse people is that they just think that these horses are being overworked and overrun too young. It's become too greedy. It's all about the money. It's not about the well-being of the horses, and they're just pushing them too hard and too fast. Do you think there's truth to that?
Well, yeah, because if you want to get into the Triple Crown, you have to have a really good three-year-old. So that means you got to really condition that horse when they're two. And some of them, their knees aren't closed yet. Some of them, you might have paid like a lot of money for them. It doesn't mean that they're ready to run. So yeah, it could be pushing them too hard, but they've done that all the time too. I mean, that's nothing new. People want to get into these stake races. These owners pay a lot of money for these animals, and you want to start making some of that money back. You want to enjoy your horse. You want to see your horse win. You want to get in the winner's circle. So in that respect, they push horses too young. But again, if it was all about pushing horses too young, you would have seen this happen all through history.
Okay, so there's something else going on.
There's gotta be that makes something sense. Else.
All right. Well, then we'll leave that. And thank you for your input on that. We don't have a whole lot of time left, but in the time that we do in this hour, tell us how, you know, you're training horses and doing all kinds of great healing work and rehab work and training and all of that. How did this lead you to NuPro?
Well, I was at a tack store, and the owner of the tack store where I was buying stuff for the horses, it could be liniments, vitamins, whatever, was also a former horse trainer. And he had this supplement for horses called NuPro. And I took a shot. I bought it. I thought it had some great ingredients in it. And I said, let me see how it's going to work on my horses. And I started using it on my horses, and I loved the results. My horses had more energy. You know, they're just not going to. You're talking about Olympic athletes are just not going to run on hay and oats. We always want to give them something to build them up. So I was always a big believer in vitamins, even before the market was flooded like it is now. And I saw this NuPro. It had the kelp in there and bee pollen and nutritional yeast. And it had the lactobacillus for digestion and all these wonderful ingredients, fresh and raw. I said, that's what horses need. So I started using it. I saw their coats get shinier. They were happier, jumping around. And I just saw a difference in my animals' performance and everything. So one day the owner had said to me, oh, you should meet the doctor who created this product. You guys would hit it off really well. So I did. Long story short, he was making a product for dogs and cats. He had given it to a few friends to use. He had not done anything more than that. He loves to do research, and he did. And I said, well, you know, I don't have a dog right now, but I certainly have a lot of barn cats. And if all of you know what barn cats usually don't look like the healthiest animals, they right. have snots, their coats aren't being taken care of right, they're a little skinny. You know, owners would come to watch their horses train on a Saturday, bring their kids, and they would say, don't touch those cats, they got disease or something, you know. So I'm like, what if I can help these cats? So I started giving them the product. And the first thing I noticed is the cats that would actually go in the litter box, not in the stalls or the woods where, you know, the cats would go to use the bathroom. And I started seeing different colored poops when I would do the litter box. It would be like if you took a bunch of colored Play-Doh and stuck it together. That's what it looked like. And you have to remember back in the day, the food colorings that they had in these dogs.
Yeah, the dyes food. And stuff in the food. Yeah.
It looked like Lucky Charms, you know, for us to look at. The animals can't see those colors, but it was appealing to the humans. And I called the doctor and I said, no, doc, not for nothing. My cats are pooping colors. And he's like, oh, he start laughing. He's like, they're getting detoxed. And I said, what?
What?
He says, yeah, the product, because of the hole that's left in the flax seeds, the fiber, the whole product does a detox on the animal. That's why it flushes them out, gives them energy, gets rid of all the bad stuff. So all of those dyes that were just coming out of the cats, and it was coloring their poop. That's how bad the dyes were back then. Nobody knew this. So my experiment was I stopped giving it to them. I said, let me see what happens. And in a few days, their poop went back to the normal brown color that we all know. As soon as I gave the product again, there you go. Now, see, when my experiment was I had to buy the cheaper foods on the market, because the grooms that were feeding horses all over our barn area were not going to go buying anything expensive. Not that there was really high-end food back then. You had some good ones, but nobody's going to spend that money. If you're on a groom's salary, you're buying cheap food. I had to do the same thing. I saw what it did, obviously changed the animals' diets after that. But now I found homes for all these animals that didn't have homes, all these cats that got dropped off, litters of kittens. People say, oh my gosh, you bring these kittens home. I said, no, these cats live here. Oh no, no, they're too pretty. They're not dirty. They don't have snots. Their eyes are clean. I says, no, they are barn cats. It's because I'm using a supplement. Again, nobody really knew about supplements back then, but I found homes for all these barn cats because they turned gorgeous.
Wow. Wow. So the NuPro way back then saved the barn cats. Wow.
Yes, it did. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely amazing. And I know there's a lot more to the story, but we're going to have to pick that up starting the next hour. But this leads us right into what we've got to talk about. So we'll find out the rest of the story with Janice and how healing and finding homes for all the barn cats. How did Janice then get involved with New Pro? And I'm curious, since it started with the horses, is there, I know we advertise New Pro for dogs, cats, and ferrets, but nothing about horses. And I don't remember what's up with that. So we'll find out the answer to that question. And then we're going to find out about all the New Pro supplements that are available now and what's in them and how to use them and why and all that good stuff. And then if you've got, if you've been waiting forever to talk to Janice or ask a question, you could give us a call in the next hour and we'll see if we can connect you up here. So it is time now. We switch gears, Janice, and this started because of the lockdowns and COVIDs, and most of my pants don't fit anymore. So this is the exercise portion of the show. We get up, get our juices flowing, and get us energized up for the day and the week. And at the same time, we're sending love and light all over the country and the world, because that's so needed right now.
It totally is. You need to do some duck diving, Martha. Get out here with your dog and do some stuff.
I'm exhausted just hearing about you doing it, my dear. So I'm going to have to love train for a while to get the energy up. Anyway, I energize up the love train with our yogi energization prayer, just to give us a little more juice. And as I've told you before, dancing is required. Okay, but you can dance in your head, you can dance in your bed, you can dance in your chair, you can dance anywhere, or get up on your feet and join the love train, because I'm going to cruise through and pick you up, and we'll set that love and light all over the country, all over the planet, and then we will continue more with Janice, and oh boy, I can't wait to hear all about New Pro and the rest of the stories. So here we go with a yogi energization prayer. O infinite spirit, recharge our bodies with thy conscious cosmic energy, our minds with thy concentration and determination, our souls and all souls with thy ever new joy. O eternal youth, the body and mind abide in us forever and forever via the love train, and it's coming right up. And more with Janice from New Pro straight ahead right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
And in the meantime, if you do have a question or anything to contribute for Janice or New Pro supplements, give us a call at 425-373-5527. Toll free is 888-298-5569. We'll be back after the love train.